They are better than the national average on tobacco taxes. They're better than the national average on, for the most part, on having comprehensive statewide smoke-free laws. But they're terrible when it comes to spending this money the way that it was supposed to be spent. I'll give you an example. The best in your area is actually Vermont. I mean, they spend, and they only spend 3% of the money of the $113 million that they're going to get from the tobacco settlement this year. Only 3% is going to be spent on tobacco prevention and cessation programs. Massachusetts is only going to spend 1% of their money, which is approaching $1 billion. New York is only going to spend about 1%, and theirs is $2,683,000,000 that they're going to get. And Connecticut is also in the range of 1% of the almost half of, well, $487 million that they're going to receive from the settlement. So they're not spending the money the right way. And the great tragedy in that is that they'll spend more money in the future because they don't spend this money the right way now. The places where we have tracked and studied what the savings is when they spend the money the right way, what we're getting is a ratio of 5 to 1. For every dollar they spend, they save $5. So it's penny wise and pound foolish not to do this, not to mention the fact that you are losing the opportunity to help save people's lives, frankly.
Can you track where this money is going? If it's not going into tobacco, do you know where these states are putting this money?
No, because what happens is it's all mixed up with the state budgets. So what happens is when they don't spend the money the way that it's supposed to be spent, it's the equivalent of basically just putting the money in the general fund, and they spend it on everything else, however they distribute the money in their state budget. And that's, you know, that's a real problem. It's a missing an opportunity to spend the money the right way, and to help protect people in the process. Because, you know, I can tell you that the smoking, I mean, it kills 480,000 Americans are going to die of smoking-related diseases this year. In the cancer world where I work, one-third of all cancer deaths are directly attributable to tobacco consumption. So if you want to save people's lives and you want to prevent all of that suffering and all of the expense of treating somebody for cancer, various kinds of cancers, spending this money is really critical.
When you talk about tobacco cessation programs and prevention programs, what type of programs are you talking about? Where should this money be spent?
Well, they have different states have different, most states have tobacco cessation and prevention programs, and they're not all the same. They look a little different, but their intent is the same. The prevention programs are trying to find ways to prevent people from ever starting smoking, and the cessation programs are intended to help people who are already smoking stop. And I think that's really important because the national smoking rate right now is about 16.8%. 16.8% of the American population is still smoking, even after all we know about how deadly these products are. The problem is when we go out and we do polling, and we poll active smokers about, do you want to smoke? And, you know, typically somewhere in the high 70s, we'll say, no, we don't want to smoke. We want to quit, but we can't. We're hooked, and we want to get off of this. And they need help doing it. So that's what these programs are intended to do. The other thing that these programs are intended to do is prevent kids from ever starting. And that's a big problem because the business model of the tobacco industry, frankly, is to get young people hooked on nicotine so that they have to do it, so that they need it. And that's a very perverse thing because it's like a death sentence for a lot of people once they get on it. And some people are able to quit, but it's very hard. A lot of physicians will say that quitting a nicotine addiction is every bit as hard and sometimes even harder than quitting a heroin addiction.
Local officials from time to time and elected officials, health officials, will occasionally call for raising the smoking age, the purchase age of tobacco from 18 to 21. Do you see that happening, and would that be an effective way of ending this or reducing this?
It is helpful to raise the smoking age. It is not, in all honesty, it's not the most effective tactic. I mean, the most effective tactics are raising the price point of cigarettes, which is raising the taxes. And we don't do it because we're advocating for more tax revenue. We're doing it because when you change the price point of cigarettes, it tends to depress consumption. Comprehensive smoke-free laws, which most of the states in your area have, but also these smoking cessation and prevention programs. And the big issue in your part of the country is that money isn't being spent right on the tobacco cessation and prevention programs. Having an age limit or raising the age limit where people can buy these products is helpful, but it's not the most helpful thing, frankly. It's good, but there are other things that reap a greater reward.